Very good. Okay. Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Your lesson plan. Are you guys awake this morning?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try that one more time. Don't be getting old and crusty on me and lazy. Are you awake?
Yeah.
Word. There you go. There you go. That's okay. I just want to get that one out. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor of the Rock. Welcome to the church. Hope you are having a hope you have a blessed morning. If you are a visitor, welcome. Don't feel obligated to do anything except listen. When I first received Jesus Christ in 1984, I went back to New York where I'm from and happened to go to a party with some of my friends, and it was maybe 30 people in the house. My friend had a big loft up in his upstairs, and so I went to the party and, you know, doing the same thing, talking, smoking weed, drinking. Not me, but that's what they were doing. I had quit, and I found myself up there going, you know, I'm not into this anymore. So I went downstairs and was sitting in the living room, in the dining room, and I found myself sitting at the table in the dining room talking about Jesus. So one person was there. Then there was two people, then there were three people. Next thing you know, the whole party was down in the dining room and we were all talking about Jesus, arguing, debating, whatever. Now you have to understand, I didn't know anything. I was a new Christian, just zealous, you know, had a big mouth and you know, knew some basic stuff like Jesus was born on Christmas, he died on, rose on Easter, that's all I knew. But I was, you know, just bam, 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 and I just remember this, I wish I could relive it. But I remember everyone was down there and we had this whole discussion about Jesus at this party. The story we're going to read today is about a guy named Matthew. Everyone say Matthew. And Matthew hosts a party at his house with his friends. He's a tax collector, as we're going to see. He was a sinner. He wasn't a follower of Christ. Christ calls him to follow. And the next thing we know, he has a party at his house with all his tax collector friends. He says, I met a guy you need to know. So we're going to call this Matthew party a Marty. Now you have to say it like you're from England, from London, okay? Say Marty. Now, the one time, let me pronounce it for you. I've been practicing all week because I can't do this English accent. Say, it's Marty. Yes, a Marty. So you're going to have a Marty. Now, you have to understand what a Marty is. A mate is introducing non-Christian people to Christ, whether it be an event or a lifestyle. Now, look at your notes. We're going to read this sentence step and remind us where we're at and why we have all this army gear on, or this military gear. And we're not glorifying war. We are making you aware that you are in a battle. In your notes, it should say an army is a group of people trained and armed for war. The Rock Salvation Army is a group of people trained and armed to fight for the souls of unbelievers. Okay? We are going to spell out the word army by giving a word or term to each letter in the word army. If you are part of the Rock, we don't have formal membership, but if you say, the Rock is my church, there are four things we want to encourage you to do. One is A, have an accountability relationship with somebody. We talked about that last week. If you weren't here, go get the CD. Talk about having someone who can be you can be accountable to. But the R is reaching out to the lost people. We want to be a church that reaches out to lost people. That's why we're going to talk about having a mate. Because our lifestyle as Christians, period, but especially here, is who is not saved are you praying for, reaching out to, sharing the gospel with? That needs to be our lifestyle. We are not here to escape and avoid being involved with non-Christian people or having contact with them. We want to be reaching out to them in whatever, however God has gifted you. Not just preaching, praying for them, encouraging them, serving, organizing things. But the point is that there are non-Christian people we're reaching out to. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 9. Chapter 9, verse 9. It says, Jesus passed from there and he saw a man named Matthew. Say Matthew. Sitting at a tax office, and he said, follow me, and he arose and followed him. And the Bible says that Matthew's sitting down at his tax office. Now, tax collectors were wicked people. They basically ripped people off. They worked for the Roman government. They were Jews a lot of times, and they would take whatever money they wanted from you, give to the Roman government their share, and keep the rest. So they were crooks. It was legal to prevent a tax collector from coming into your church, your synagogue. It was legal to lie to them based on the Jewish law because they were so wicked. Jesus is walking by and he sees Matthew sitting at the tax office and he says, come follow me. And what does Matthew do? Look at your book. What does he do? He gets up and follows him. Now I'm going to do it again because you might have missed it. I know I did it real fast. He says, follow me. And Matthew gets up and follows him. If you're going to have a mate, if you're going to be effective in reaching out to lost people, the first thing you got to do is walk away from your old life. You got to walk away from your old life. Number one, you got to accept the call to follow him. When Christ gives you an opportunity and calls you and says, please accept me as your Savior, when Jesus says that to you, please let me forgive you of your sin, please let me renew your mind, please let me change your whole life so you can be exactly what I designed you for, you say yes. You don't say no. You don't want to say no. You want to say yes. God has been calling you all your life. All the radio programs you've heard, all the gospel presentations you've heard on TV, radio, and books, you've been to church, you've heard it, and you're like, oh, okay, one day. No. Today's the day of salvation. Do what Matthew did. Get up and walk. Walk away from your pain, from your misery, from your depression. And so the first thing you got to do is to accept the call. Next, it says acknowledge your need to walk away from your old life and follow Jesus. You have to acknowledge I am a sinner and I can't do this by myself. Let me tell you something. That's not a sign of weakness. It's a reality check. How many of you in here, there many of you in here are Christians. How many of you in here remember from before you were Christian, you were idiot, jerk, knucklehead, prideful, arrogant, whatever. Any of the above, anything close like that. Amen? How many of y'all didn't raise your hand think you were none of that? you were rather. You were that. We were knuckleheads. We thought we knew. Okay? You need to also acknowledge that following Christ is imitating him in all things. Following Christ is not, I'm going to heaven, I'll go to church once a month on Easter and Christmas, and I'm cool. No, following Christ is, I am going to imitate Jesus. I'm going to follow him in his thought process. I'm going to follow him in his words. I'm going to follow him in his actions. I'm going to follow him in how he forgave, how he loved, how he encouraged. That's what it means. And I'm going to follow him in how he reached out to people who were lost. The whole reason he came is for lost people. He didn't come for all institutions. You know, when we go to heaven, there was going to be no, I'm guessing on this, but I think I'm probably right. There will be no mention of any denominations, of any church, of any pastor. All of that is completely erased. It's all about him. So he didn't come for all this stuff that we get caught up in. He came that we can have a relationship with him and serve him. Now, the reason organizations do exist so we can organize ourselves, but we don't worship the organization. It's a vehicle. The building we're buying is a vehicle. The end result is that we would know and serve Christ. That's what you're also saying. So you have to say, I got to walk away from my life, and I'm supposed to imitate him. And thirdly, it says, get up and walk. Do it. When you have an opportunity to walk away from your sin and your pain and the path you're on that's going to take you to hell, the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. That death means hell. Separation from God, not sleeping in the ground. When you have an opportunity to say, I don't want that anymore, take it. Don't sit around and think about it. There's nothing to think about. Matter of fact, maybe we need to clarify. Is there anybody in here that wants to go to hell? Are we straight? No one wants to burn up and be eternally separated from God. I mean, it sounds like a dumb question. But if you don't want to go to hell, don't do the things that will get you there. Okay? Number two. Plan to host a mate. Develop a team of people and plan an event. Let's read chapter 9, verse 10. So it was as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, I want you to keep your finger here. Turn, the very next book is Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Same story. We're going to look at a little different slant on it. Mark chapter 2. Or if we're in England, mock. Mock. Verse 15. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, it says, same story. Now it happened as he was dining, Christ was dining in Levi's, Matthew's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many and they followed him. Now turn to Luke chapter 5, next book. Everyone say Luke. Luke 5, same story. Luke 5. Verse 29. Luke 5:29. It says, then Levi or Matthew gave him Christ a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 9. What it says here is that Matthew got up and followed. And what did Matthew do? Matthew said, wait a minute. This Jesus is the bomb. I need to tell my friends. So he invited all his friends and says, come on my house. They're like, yeah, let's come on my house and bring some booze, bring some herbal scurbel, bring some whatever. And we're going to have a party. And they said, no, just come on over. And Jesus, can you come over with your disciples and we're going to talk? That's what he did. Now, you can have a mate at your house. You can do that. But really what I'm trying to encourage you to do is to live an evangelistic lifestyle that you are always thinking and praying for people who are not saved. That is part of our culture here. That you are always thinking about who you're saved. Well, I go to the Rock. Well, are you praying for someone? No, I don't pray for nobody. It's all about me. Think about this. Matter of fact, look at the next blank in there. It says develop a team. Then it says develop a guest list and begin praying. Three people minimum you should be praying for. And it's not a magical number. It's the only space I can get in the thing. But just think of three people. Three people's names you could write in there who don't know Christ, who need forgiveness, who are hurting, who are depressed, whose lives the devil's destroying right before your eyes. That you would put their names down, and then it says, begin praying for them. Begin praying for them. When you pray for other people, guess what? Your life changes. If you want to get rid of a problem, get a bigger problem. And you know what a bigger problem is? Someone else's life. It's not your issue to fix. But if you're worried that you don't have money to go out to the club or go out to buy your season tickets, and then you meet someone who's getting ready to get evicted, all of a sudden your season ticket problem ain't a big problem. If you're boohooing because your boyfriend, he left you, and then you realize, well, this married woman with three kids just got abandoned, then you don't have this big a problem. If you realize, well, I have the flu and I'm so depressed, well, you realize someone has terminal cancer, it's a whole different story. Stop praying for somebody else. You should always be praying for somebody else. And you'll be amazed at how therapeutic, not only you do it for yourself, but how therapeutic it becomes and how now God starts to speak to you. Because when you pray for other people, guess what God starts to do? He starts to speak to you about those people and what he wants you to do. And then you have reason to read, to memorize, to understand, to be able to answer questions, because you will get asked questions. The next step is to identify the mate you are going to have. Now, you can have a mate at your house, but you know what? We have a mate here every week, 5 times on Sunday, right here in this room. Invite people to church. Don't be scared to invite people to church. And Easter's coming, Cox Arena, March 27th, one service, 10:30 in the morning, March 27th at Easter. We're going to give you information about it. All of y'all need to see that as your mate. Because everybody goes to church or knows about church on Easter. And by the way, don't worry about inviting people to church on Easter, because you will get positive. Well, yeah, I got to go. It's been a year. If you have atheist friends, invite your atheist friends. Why? They believe in God too. You didn't know that, did you? Atheists believe in God. Let me ask you a question. If you see somebody who is walking around talking to someone who is not there, what do you do with those people? They put them in a mental hospital. Stop it. Get out of the way. You ever see those people? If you haven't, just imagine someone walking down the street talking to somebody you think they're crazy. Well, let me ask you a question. Why would an atheist waste their time and energy and money fighting something that doesn't exist? They believe there's a God. They're trying to prevent you. Why would you waste your time trying to prevent somebody from acknowledging something that's not there? If it's not there, it doesn't matter what they are. We're crazy. They know there's a God. Oh, yes. They know there's a God. Invite them anyway. Don't put past God. Don't put anybody's soul past God. God will get them. So we have a mate coming. Start writing a list down and start inviting them. We rented the Cox Arena at San Diego State. We're going to pay the same amount of money whether one person shows up or 10,000 show up. Let's have 10,000 show up. Amen? But that's your job. If you're up on Tuesday this week at 7:15 in the morning, I'm going to be on Fox News. There was an article in Time Magazine discussing the issue of whether President Bush owes the Christian community certain things based on what he campaigned and why Christians voted him in office, abortion, Supreme Court justice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then the article goes and says, Christians need to be very sensitive to not getting so hung up on political power much as doing their job as Christians, loving people. And so I'm going to be addressing those issues. The reason I tell you that is that you may have some neighbor that doesn't want to come to church. Tell them to watch the news. And that's one step closer possibly to becoming the church, whether they disagree or not. They may just want to come here just to mock me because they don't agree. But they'll agree, because what I'm going to talk about is that we need to do our job. If we do our job, everything else will be easier. If we love people the way we're supposed to, we serve people the way we're supposed to, our light will be so bright, people want to be saved. And so my point is this, that's another pre-evangelistic, hey, just watch Fox on Tuesday. My pastor's going to be on TV. What's he going to be talking about? Well, just watch it. And they're sitting home, there it is. They don't have to come. That's one step closer. That's evangelism. Do your small group at Starbucks or In-N-Out. That's evangelism. You're exposing Christ's love to people. It's a mate. Be praying for people. Number three, begin training for the battle. In other words, if you say, listen, I'm going to start engaging non-Christian people, I'm going to start praying for people, I'm going to start inviting them to church, start training for the battle. Why? Because as soon as you declare yourself as to live an evangelistic lifestyle, the devil will attack you. If you say you're going to invite people to your house, oh my goodness, which is right on, brother, peace in the bottle of hair grease, go do it. But as soon as you say, I'm going to invite people to my house, and I'm going to get a team of people, three of us, we're going to invite some people to our house, we're going to do it on gay marriage, we're going to do it on abortion, we're going to do it on some controversial subject, you can ask your friends what they might want to talk about, and you get some people who are really skilled in it, and you invite them over and just talk about it, the devil's going to come against you. Your water heater's going to bust, your car's going to get a flat, you're going to start getting attitude, your wife might start growing a mustache, all kind of weird stuff happening. My wife's never grown a mustache, so, but I'm just saying. Everyone's going to be going to my wife looking at her going, man, is he going to mustache? Better start praying. Lord, use me. You're in a battle. The reason we have all this up here, because you're in a war. The devil wants to destroy your life. Do not live a life to think you can avoid the war. In other words, don't say, I'm going to live safe because I don't want the devil to attack me. The minute you say that, it's like taking a soldier and putting him in the room and saying, don't fight. You just rendered the army weaker. You're in the war. No matter how you cut it, by default, you're human. And so you might as well get strong so you can fight him. And one of the ways is to start preparing and praying and training. And then it says, prepare to give an answer for your hope to believers and unbelievers. In other words, when people say to you, why do you go to church? I don't think I have to go to church. You got to give an answer. Why do you pray? I'm talking to God. He's talking to me. You got to give an answer. Why do you believe in creation versus evolution? There's no evidence. Yes, there is. If you look at everything that's created that exists, there's evidence of incredible design. Who's the designer? Nothing can design anything. You have to have an answer. So start praying and preparing to give an answer. When people start to ask you questions, the more you study, the more you get to start, the more you're equipped to answer questions, the more confident you're going to be in your relationship with God, the more faith you're going to have in God, and your life is going to be transformed. Next one, develop some questions and answers with your accountability partner in practice. Last week we talked about having an accountability partner. And let's say you're going to have a Marty, or let's say you're going to witness to someone at your job, and they've been asking you questions about evolution, they've been asking you questions about gay marriage, they've been asking you questions about abortion, whatever it is. There's plenty of information in the bookstore you can get. You and your accountability partner study the issue and quiz each other. Let me tell you something. This is so much fun. Don't be one of those Christians that comes to church and don't know anything about anything. You know the Jehovah's Witness come to your door? Y'all look through the window. Oh, my goodness. I ain't answering that door. Mormons come to your house. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, we're going to be talking about these cults in the summertime. We're going to do a whole series on cults and religions and all that stuff. Oh, I can't talk to those people. No. They are trained so well. And don't be offended. They're trained in the wrong information. And we'll explain that this summer. But what they believe is not what you believe. All roads don't lead to God. And we'll talk to you about that in summertime. We go through each one. We're not going through it, but, you know, we'll go through several. And you'll be understand that the Jesus they worship is not the Jesus you worship. Jesus is not an angel. He's not a created being. He's not the devil's brother, some of these cults believe. So don't think that they're Christian just like you. They say they are because the devil will masquerade himself as an angel of light. So you got to be careful not to be deceived, but practice. You and your partner, just practice asking questions back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Whether you're going to have an event or not, if you're going to engage people in conversation and they ask you a question, you want to be able to say the Bible says this. The Bible says this. Logic in the Bible say this. Science in the Bible says this. Because science, logic, and the Bible all agree. That's a whole other issue. We'll keep talking. We'll continue that discussion as we go. But let me tell you something. It does. If the Bible's legitimate, matter of fact, the week after Easter, we're going to start a series on who is Jesus really? And we're going to talk about, did he really say he was God? Did he really say he was Messiah? Did the disciples believe he was Messiah? Blah, 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 blah. But the first message is going to be, can we trust the reliability of the Bible? Is it legit? Oh, my goodness, it is legit. But you need to know why it's legit. You need to have evidence that it's legit, and there is evidence that it is. You need to have these answers. So my point is this. Get some accountability people in your life and say, let's get sharpen each other like iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17, and quiz each other and memorize scripture and memorize the issues and be able to answer these questions. In addition to saying the Bible says, you want to be able to answer with just plain logic. Plain logic. Next one. Begin praying against the evil one, because Satan will attack you. If you ever decided to do ministry, to help somebody, to pray for somebody, and you had these weird things happen, unexplainable things happen, that's the devil. He does it all the time. You need to pray. So when it happens, because it will, even though you do pray, God will show it to you and give you the strength to resist it. The Bible says you resist the devil. You can't resist the devil. And submit to God, and the devil will flee. The Bible says that in James. So you're not like, oh, hope he doesn't get me. No, no, no. Lord, protect me, and when he gets me, punch him in the mouth. Or when he comes after me, punch him in the mouth. But don't be like, I don't want to do anything to offend him. Oh, no, you're going to be offensive. Just the fact that you're Christian, you offend him. So don't worry about that. You're already offensive by default. So you need to say, Lord, I want to be strong, so when he starts to do this weird stuff in my life, I go, oh. I was up maybe a month and a half ago. I was up like 3 o'clock in the morning. My mind just, and I was laying in bed, and I sat up on the side of the bed, and I was like, ugh. And this little voice says, you're under attack. I was like, yeah, huh? You're under attack. This little demon's I got this little stuff in my head that I don't want to be thinking about. And I was like, oh, okay. Lord, I pray you smoke that fool. Get him off my mind so I can go back to sleep. I recognize devil, now I know that's you, huh? Okay. You have to understand you're in a battle. It's spiritual. It's not physical. Look what it says in chapter 9, verse 10. It says, when it was so that Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came to him and sat down with him. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? These were the religious people. Who does your Jesus think he is hanging out with those people? Now, there's two kinds of people in this story. Well, there's many different kinds, but there's two kinds I want to focus on. It's the religious, people who think they got it all together, and it's the sinner, the people who know they're sinners. If you know you're a sinner, say amen. Amen. If you think you got it all together and you and Jesus are so much on the same level that you can criticize him, let me warn you, do not say amen. But say amen. Thank you. If you are a righteous person, but you got your stuff together and you don't need God, God didn't die for you. Why are you coming to church? Or are you blessing God with your presence? We come to church because we need God. So bad. It's not a crime, or embarrassing to say, I need God. That is the wisest sentence that could ever come out of your mouth, is I need God. Because what you are realizing that you are this much, and God is all that in the bag of chips in the whole industry. Look in your notes. Number four, be prepared to follow up. What does that mean? That when you share the gospel with somebody and they say, I want it, be prepared to know what to do next. Oh, what do I do? They got saved. Well, invite them to church. Invite them to a Rock U class. Rock U is our in-house training. We have all kind of classes there for new believers. People want to learn about cults and financial integrity. They're doing a financial planning class now. If you want to learn about money, you want to learn about cults, you want to learn about the Bible, you want to learn about your faith. Invite them to class, invite them to church, invite them to your small group, invite them to your accountability group. But be ready that when they say, I want God, you know what to do. Be ready to lead them in a prayer so they can get saved. You hear me say the same prayer over you, probably go, man, does he ever get a different prayer? No. Why? Because I want you to be in bed going, oh, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. It's wrong. I want it to be in your brain so you can just spit it out when you want to spit it out. And it's just so simple. Look at your notes. Be equipped with information for church, small group, Rock U classes, and or your accountability relationship. And then stay faithful to them through thick and thin. Stay faithful. In other words, if you share the gospel with somebody, you're praying for somebody, one, don't ever pray for anybody you're not willing to help. And that shouldn't be anybody, by the way. In other words, say, I'm not praying for him because I don't want to help him. I'll pray for him. That shouldn't be. But if you pray for somebody, be willing that God will use you in their life. Don't say, Lord, please save them, but don't call on me to do anything because I ain't sharing the gospel with them. Don't do that. Be ready that God would use you in their life. Okay? But when they say yes, be ready for whatever you're going to do. And when they go up and down in their faith and they start being unfaithful and they start to trip, be there for them. Because remember, you're imitating Christ. Has God ever abandoned you when you went up and down? Everyone say no. Say no. Is that you would say, Lord, I want you to use me in that person's life. I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine someone walking through life, they're a sinner, they're doing drugs, they're, you know, got diseases, they're depressed, they're empty inside, whatever it is their issue is. Well, they got everything together in the natural world, but in the spiritual, in their heart, they're empty. They hear the gospel, someone tells them you're a sinner like everybody else, they go, yeah, I know. Jesus, there's a penalty of your sin is death. Yeah, I know. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Yeah, I know. He rose from the dead, and he's offering you salvation. And you say, man, God, I want that. And you receive his forgiveness, and you're cleansed, and your life changes. And all of a sudden, you're not perfect, but you start to change and become like Christ in your attitudes and your actions. And you start to experience joy. And then you say, this is all mine. I'm not telling anybody else. I'm going to keep it to myself. And look at those people. They're just miserable. And they're just doing drugs. And they're empty. And they're wrong. And how they're just messed up. Man, those people, man, someone needs to help them. But I'm not telling them what I know. Is that selfish? Then why do you do it? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you who are saved have not shared the gospel with somebody in the last year? You did exactly that. I'm not telling anybody. Now, the devil justified it in your mind. They're not going to listen. They're going to criticize you. You're going to get embarrassed. You don't know enough. And none of those excuses are nearly good enough. You don't need to worry about getting embarrassed because you won't. So embarrassment is a state of mind. It's a perspective. You need to learn. That's your on you. Opportunities are galore every day. So why would you take all that God has given you and keep it to yourself? God did not give it to any of us to keep to ourselves. He has given us the message of reconciliation and the ministry or the responsibility of reconciliation. He's given it to us. I'm giving you my gospel, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you a responsibility to go tell somebody. That's why you got it. We want to continue to encourage you in that. Step number one is be praying about your Marty. Start writing down the names of three people, and all you got to do is begin praying for them. And Easter is the easiest thing to invite them to. It's the easiest Christian event because people go to church on Easter. Okay? Say, hey, would you mind going to church with me on Easter? Pray for them every day and ask them. And by the way, ask your boss, ask people, your neighbors, people you think would never go. Pray for them and ask them and watch what they do. And let God do an amazing thing in their life. Now, there's some of y'all in here this morning. You've never asked Christ to be your Savior. You're just like Matthew, doing your thing. And God is here, not me, but he's speaking to you and he's saying, you know what? I love you. I have a plan for your life. Let me forgive you. Let me fill you with my Holy Spirit. And all you got to do is say yes. And you know who you are. God today is so excited. Look at the verse, chapter 9, verse 12. When Jesus heard that, them criticizing him, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and sacrifice, not sacrifice. And here's the key verse. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you got it all together, Christ didn't come for you. Now, he died for everybody. But if you think, I don't need him, well, guess what? Then go about your business. You're wrong, but go about your business. But if you realize you need him, Christ came for you. And he came so he can love you and encourage you and forgive you. That's what he wants to do. But he will not force himself on you. You have to voluntarily give your life to him. In a minute, we're going to pray. I want to give you an opportunity to say, yes, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I want to be like Matthew and accept your call on my life. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you so much for Matthew's obedience and his humility. And Lord, we thank you so much that you want to forgive us, and you do forgive us of our sin. And that you do have a plan for our life that is more amazing than we can ever ask or imagine. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here who are already saved. I pray you use them in a mighty way in people's lives to invite people to church, pray for people, and that we would always be thinking about other people. No matter where we think we're at, we can always pray. But Lord, there may be somebody here this morning who's not saved. They'd never asked you to be their Savior. They know they're a sinner. They know you died for their sin. And they believe you rose from the dead. And they today want you to forgive them. If you would like Christ to forgive you of your sin, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. I believe the penalty is death. But I believe Jesus loves me, that he died, rose from the dead for my sin. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior this morning. Once and for all. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And like Matthew did in public, by standing, you are acknowledging that Jesus has forgiven you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying this morning, yes, Lord, I am deciding to follow you, just stand up to your feet and acknowledge that. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. Good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. Good. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Stay standing. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? God is saying to you, I love you, and you're saying, yes, Lord, I receive your forgiveness this morning. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Very good. This is the day. Anybody else? By faith. Lord, here I am. I surrender my life by faith. Anybody else? God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to do what Matthew did. Come up out of your seat and walk down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Who's the man this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Come on down. God bless you. Stay right here, okay? God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. 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 The Bible says, if you confess, God forgives. I've been watching American Idol. Anybody watch that show? Yeah. And when they play with those kids' heads, you know, they say, oh, one of y'all got to go. And then they say, all y'all down there, relax. You know, there's 12 people. This happened last week. And they led them to believe that this one group, no one was going to get let go that night. And then they later on come and say they tricked them. They play games with their head. God doesn't do that. You ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. You ask God to bless you. As long as you do your part, you pray, he hears your prayers. You read your Bible, he speaks to you. He is faithful. The flip side is true also. You don't do what he says? Amen? It's penalties. It's not that he's a big bad wolf, he's going to hurt you, but all he set up a system that when you sin, there's a penalty to sin. In other words, if you cut your chest open, you bleed. It's just a consequence. You punch somebody in the face, you get hit back. Consequence. It's not that he's doing anything to you, but it's all right here in the book. So we want to encourage all of y'all, and all of y'all, we know God's faithful. Let's act on it. We know he's called us to share his love with people. Let's do it. Let's keep inviting people. Okay, we'll get more space. Just keep inviting them. We want them to come up here and get saved. Amen? Let's pray for these people, then we're going to ask all y'all to walk that way. Amen? Let's pray for them, and then we're going to walk. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, and we pray you bless them. Bless them tremendously. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing before you go. Please help us minister to this community by not parking on the street in front of those condos. Please help us minister to the community by not parking on the street in front of the condos. We have an agreement with them, a word-to-word agreement. We want to help them out. That's where they park. We got parking over here. So help us out with that. Amen? Amen. Let's all walk this way. Let's give them a walk.